Broadcasting from the City of Angels, two childhood friends bring you unique takes on current events, gaming, social media, and that crazy thing called life. You're officially tuned into the Culture Burrito Podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Lewis and Mondo.
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the Culture Burrito Podcast. This is your host, Mondo, along with...
Lewis. I'm back.
And we are glad to have you back. I'm overjoyed and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are overjoyed too to know that we're back. But before we get started in today's episode, I want to remind everybody to please help support the channel through our Patreon and check out the merch store. We still have a lot of goodies out there for everybody. And with that being said, let's get into today's episode. So I'm finally happy to hear you come back to us, but tell us a little bit about the story that's been going on, man. A lot of us are curious.
Damn, am I glad to be back. I finally feel like myself again. Shit, it's been quite a while since we done the podcast too and we've spoken about this because I've been just recovering, you know, from the surgery. But shit, I mean, I'll tell you how everything went. You have time to hear the story? Because I got a story.
I always have time, man, and I'm pretty sure everybody has the time too. But what happened during that time? Because it's been 3 weeks?
Yeah, about that. I mean, see, it all started. I don't know if you remember one of our previous podcasts. I remember saying, like, I've been fucking sick, throwing up and this and that. And I think it's because I can't keep up no more. I'm not young anymore. And I was watching movies with my kids. And all that was just a warning sign. My body was telling me, like, hey, your gallbladder's fucking up. And, you know, the funny thing is that I think it was mostly hereditary because my mom had her gallbladder removed like 2-3 months before I did. And what I thought it was just me getting older, you know, because every time that would happen, I would start getting like a pain in the middle of my stomach. And I would just be like, it's just me getting older. I'm not young anymore. And it happened like that for like maybe 2 months. Then on the third month, it came back again because it would come and go, you know, and I would know how to treat it. And I would be like, well, just take a bunch of, you know, Mylanta, Pepto-Bismol. I already know the routine, throw up a little bit, wait it out, you know, feel bloated for like a week and then it would go away.
You know, it's funny because you did have this for quite a long, like every time that I would see you, I noticed that you had some discomforts and stuff like that, but I never really thought that it was much further than that. I just thought it's like we all kind of go through this, like you said, we get older and we get new aches and pains every day and that kind of thing. But you know, I guess these were just telltale signs of what was to come. No,
yeah, and we have insurance, like we've been having, you know, medical insurance since my kids were born, and we never had been without it because of that. But as you know, like, we don't tend to go to the hospital for anything. So I thought that was normal. That was my new way of my body reacting to all the fast food, junk food that we eat. And I thought that's how I live now. But on the third month that it happened, I was like, I remember having that again. And I was like, oh my God, this is more intense than before. I don't think I could handle this. And I told my wife, you know what? Fuck this. I need to go to the doctor. I need to go checked out. And it's funny how things happen because that day I remember going to Kaiser and we were over there at the waiting room. We had already been checked in and everything, but they told us to wait. And the pain just kept getting more intense and intense and intense that I remember counting the people that were there before me. And I'm just like, okay.
What would you describe the pain? 1 to 10.
Shit, at that day, it was a 10. Like, it was very uncomfortable. And I was sweating. That's how I knew something was wrong. I mean, you know, I have AC in my house and I'm still sweating. I knew something was wrong. And the pain was like a 10 that day. I was like, oh my God. I can't even think straight. Like, usually, you know, if you're in a lobby waiting, you'll be quick to just reach your phone and just start look. I couldn't even do that. I was just holding my stomach, my head down. And I'm just like, please, please, hurry up. I want to just go in there, talk to a doctor, see what the fuck's going on. And I kept counting the patients in the room. I'm like, okay, that one was here before me, and then okay, now she's gone, now he's gone, now I gotta be next, I have to be next. And then they called my name. I went in and I told them going on, and then they were like, okay, let's go and see, give you a room so you can talk to a doctor. And as soon as they gave me the room, you know, the doctor came in and he's like, okay, so what seems to be the problem? I told him everything. I explained to him what was going on, and he mentioned, you know what, it might be your gallbladder. We need to check it out. We need to do some testing. In the meantime, just hang in tight. We're gonna give you some medicine to relieve the pain. And they gave me some morphine. And the nurse gave me the morphine and it felt weird because that shit feels weird going through your spine. You'll feel it. And it didn't do nothing to my pain. I was just like, when am I supposed to feel better? And I'm asking the nurse. She was like, you should have felt better immediately.
That is freaking weird. You know, I went through something similar to that. And normally morphine, you know, does the job right away. But if you say morphine isn't doing anything for you, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to imagine the kind of pain you were going through.
No. So that was the beginning of it. Because when I was there for like maybe an hour, right? And then and after an hour, I still had pain. I was like telling my wife, what the fuck? This shit didn't do nothing. I need something else. I'm fucking in pain. But I was far from it. Yet after 20, 30 minutes, I felt like the urge to throw up. And then they gave me a little bag and I threw up. And as soon as I threw up, it was nothing but some bitter bullshit that I threw up. I started feeling immediately a sharp ass pain in my region where my gallbladder is. It felt like somebody stuck a samurai sword in there and was taking it out slowly, slowly, slowly. And it was a fucking pain that I never want to experience again. But it was so hard, Mondo. You know I'm very good at taking pain. Even when we physically play basketball and get elbow, get hit, does nothing to me. But this pain.
Well, I remember the stories. But
yeah, this pain, not only was it so severe that I couldn't handle it, I fucking was grabbing myself real hard on the fucking bed. I was punching that fucking bed because it was so fucking intense. Then all of a sudden, my shoulder started hurting with the same type of pain. And I'm like, fuck, why is my shoulder fucking hurting? I'm grabbing my shoulder, grabbing my stomach, grabbing my shoulder. And then nurses came by and they're like, sir, everything okay? I'm like, no, not everything's not okay. Why the fuck do I have pain in my shoulder and my stomach? And then I hear other nurses come that, oh, I think he's having an allergic reaction to the morphine. Call the doctor. And I'm just like, allergic reaction? What the fuck? Then the nurse came back and she's like, I don't think you have an allergic reaction. They're saying that, but you would have had an allergic reaction in the first 10 minutes when we put it in. But it's already been an hour and a half. And why would you get an allergic reaction an hour and a half later? That never happens. And I just said, I don't care. I don't know. I just need something because I cannot stand this pain. I mean, I couldn't even breathe, Mando. Every time that I would take a deep breath, the pain felt worse. So I was like, I was doing like when women are in labor, when they go to Lamas class.
You mean like the breathing techniques and stuff?
Yeah. I was going, that's the only way I could fucking kind of subdue the pain, but it was still fucking there. And then I keep hearing the nurses in the background, right? They were talking amongst...
Think about this real quick. When women go into childbirth, what do they tell them? They need to have these breathing techniques, right? Because this is the only way you could put up with the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to be going through this, then I wonder, is this pain similar to what childbirth will be like?
Well, that's one of the nurses told me. See, I got different answers. One nurse told me that this is worse than child labor pains. And the other one told me that this is just as bad. So I was like, regardless, it's fucked up. And I could fucking feel bad for women now. I could feel bad for women when they're in labor pains, you know. That's just painful. But
you understand what they're going through, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the meantime, I could hear them talking in the background, right? Outside of my little fucking room. And I could hear one saying, I think his gallbladder is inflamed and we need to get a doctor immediately because he's going to have any surgery. If we don't hurry up, it might explode and he might go into a coma. And I'm just like, don't fucking say that. I'm right here. I could hear you. I could hear the other one saying, he's just probably having an allergic reaction. Let's just wait to see. And I'm like, no. I'm yelling, don't wait. Just fucking do something about it. Just fucking stand there, do something, because I'm in pain right now. I cannot stand this shit. I'm trying to be calm and not say, you know, bad words, but fuck, the pain is just too much. And then the doctor comes in, and he was a cool doctor, goofy looking doctor. He's cool. And he's like, oh, so Mr. Plectis, how you feeling? I'm like, how the fuck do you think I'm feeling? I'm in fucking pain. I'm like, fuck.
He couldn't tell from your fist clenched and, you know, the vein popping out of your head.
Yeah. And my wife told me, wow, you're like pale right now. And I was soaking sweat. That's how I knew something was really off, because you don't sweat unless your body's fighting something. And the doctor was like, when I told him that, he kind of got like, hold on. We're gonna take you to the ER because we don't have a surgeon right now at this moment that could operate you. And I'm just like, I don't care what you do, doctor, just fucking do something. And he told me, but before we do that, we got to take you to get an ultrasound. So make sure that that's what it is. And I'm like, I don't care. Just fucking do it, please. I need to get this shit out, or something needs to be done. And they took me to a fucking ultrasound room, and just putting the little ultrasound thing on my stomach was so much of a pain. And the lady was telling me, okay, I'm sorry, but you're gonna have to breathe in and breathe out when I tell you, because I need to see what's going on in there. And that shit was painful as fuck. And finally, they got me back to the room, and then they tell me, okay, we have everything ready. We're gonna take you to the nearest this ER hospital that we have here, and we already talked to them, and we're gonna have surgery immediately because we're...
Wait, so you're not even being attended right there? They still have to transfer you somewhere else?
Yeah, because they didn't have a surgeon that could take care of me at that moment.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so now they tell me that I'm just like, I don't care, just fuck it, do whatever you want to do. Then they leave for like 5 minutes, then they come back and they tell me, okay, sir, we already put it, everything's ready for you to go, Mr. Platis, but we're just waiting for the ambulance to come in so we could take you to the hospital. And I'm just like, okay, how long is that gonna take? Right now, unfortunately,
5-10 minutes,
that's what I figure. But they told me right now, unfortunately, they seem to be a shortage of ambulances. There's so many accidents, people going to a hospital, that we have a 2-hour wait. And I was like, what, you mean to tell me I gotta wait 2 hours right now to go to the hospital that's probably like 10 minutes away? And my wife got mad and she's like, nope, I'm driving him if I have to. And they were like, well, you got to sign some papers stating that we're not liable if something happens to you on the way. Well, motherfucker, I'm not waiting 2 hours. I'd rather risk something happening on the way over there, you know, and be there in 10 minutes than fucking be here in 2 fucking hours waiting for the ambulance. So then I signed the fucking paper and everything, and my wife signed it, and we took off to the fucking ER. The nurse was right there with us. When we got there, you know, I remember telling the nurse, I don't want to fucking wait anymore in the lobby, please. I already waited long enough in yours. And she was like, no, we got the paper. We already called. They're just gonna receive us and go in. You're already gonna have a room and everything. I'm like, cool. So we get there. The nurse gives them the paperwork and everything. Then they tell me to fucking wait and sit down. And I'm like there for like 20 something minutes waiting. And I'm just like, oh my God, this bullshit. My shit's about to burst. And these motherfuckers are here making me wait in the lobby.
This is like a fucking nightmare. A horror story. You wouldn't think that this is the kind of stuff you would go through here in the US, but
exactly.
Shit.
Yeah, you know, and finally after like 28 minutes, because I'm counting the minutes, after like 28 minutes, they call me and they tell me, okay, it's going to be $150. If you get admitted, you get that money back. If you don't, then we'll keep that money, whatever. I don't care. I said, here, I told my wife, here, pick any fucking card. I don't care. Here, just fucking do it. We paid $150 twice. So I still got to get that money back because I got admitted and I have insurance. But yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah, because, well, the first time when we got in, they charged me, and I think they double charged me or something because I saw the charges right there. But either way, we're going to get the money back, you know. But at the moment, I didn't give a fuck. I just told my wife, we'll deal with it later. I don't care right now. And we went in. They got me on a wheelchair. That was the first time that I felt good to be on a wheelchair. And they fucking took me to my room. They started fucking taking blood out of my fucking veins and everything. Put some antibiotics and some other stuff that I was drinking through my veins.
Hooking you up to IVs and all kinds of stuff, huh? Wires and stuff.
Yeah, and everything. And then from there, they took me to get another fucking x-ray and
ultrasound.
And another ultrasound. So now at that point, I was with the IV and everything, and I had already subdued the pain. I was like, okay, I think I know. I have to be just facing up, not moving so much, and just breathing slowly. And the pain kind of subdued a little bit. And then I went to the ultrasound, and they told me, oh, the doctor wants to check you out. And I was like, okay, but please tell him not to touch this area because it just stopped hurting. I mean, it still hurts. Don't get me wrong. But it went from a fucking 100 to now like a 9 again. So I was like, it still hurts, but please. So the doctor comes in and he's like, hey, how's it going, Ms. Blakes? I'm like, not so good. I'm just in fucking pain. Please do not touch me. Do not touch anywhere near my stomach. And he's like, well, I have to check. I have to touch. I was like, okay, go ahead. And then he grabs on, you know how when people grab your belly and you're like playing around fat and they grab your belly roll?
Oh my God.
So he grabbed like that and I'm like, oh, fuck. I said, I fucking told you not to grab me like that. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Blakes, but I have to because I have to make sure that that's what it is.
It's funny you told him the region that hurt. Mm-hmm. He's got the reports from where the pain's coming from, but he's like, I'm not satisfied until I hear a scream from this guy. I gotta hear a grunt or something.
For reals. And then I'm like, I started sweating again. The pain shot up back to like fucking 80 and shit. And I'm like, oh, you motherfucker. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, oh my God. And I start... Oh my God, I was like, shit, I was good already. Why the fuck did you do this? And then he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Platis, but we need to see exactly what it is. Don't worry about it. We'll give you some more medicine, whatever we need to do to subdue your pain. And I'm like, don't give me no fucking morphine. Okay, don't worry. And then they do the ultrasound and it was painful as fuck again. And I'm like, fuck. Then we do the x-ray. The x-ray was actually pretty good. It wasn't bad because I just had to stand up and there was some little thing there that was in front of my stomach and boom, 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 done. And then they took me me back on the little bed. And finally, I was in a room. And then they told me, okay, here's the thing. We cannot operate you until the inflammation comes down. Right now, it seems to be real inflamed. And we just don't want to risk going through the operation and that it burst. And then it'll be worse because then you'll probably go in a coma. And it'll take 3 months, 4 months sometimes to get you out of a coma like that.
I'm just hearing all of this. And it's like, okay, you're dying of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're swollen right now because of the pain, right?
Mm-hmm.
They give you morphine. It's not helping you. It's actually making shit worse for you because now you're feeling pains in your arms. And now they say they can't operate on you until this goes down, but the pain hasn't gone away.
Well, once I was in the room and I was able to like go back to my technique of breathing in and out, like I'm having labor pains, it started coming down. And plus, I don't know if it was the antibiotic that they gave me too that has something to do with it, that started reacting to the gallbladder and probably started coming down and inflammation. And I was there for the whole day, just nothing but IV. Every time that bag would fucking be empty, another one, then another one, and more antibiotics. So I was there for 2 days.
So how did you, so you couldn't move then if you were feeling that much pain?
No. I could not move. If I moved, I tried to move, you know, and that's one thing. I sleep on my sides when I sleep and I couldn't do that. So I was like, fuck it. I don't care. I'll sleep like this, whatever I can. But during those days, I remember they told me, Ms. Platis, tomorrow at 9 a.m., they're going to do the surgery. So you cannot eat anything or drink water or nothing. I'm like, okay, cool. No problem. So you're going to be hooked up to IV. I was like, nah, I was happy. I was like, fuck it. It's already 11 p.m. That means by tomorrow at this time, I should have that off out of my body. Then the next day comes and they're like, okay, Ms. Platis, you ready for surgery today? Because today you're already scheduled for 9 a.m. And I'm like, yes, I'm nervous. I'm scared, but I'm ready to get this shit out of my body. Felt like, you know, the movie Aliens. When you have that alien on your body, I was like, I got to get that motherfucker out. He's fucking me up. And then
this was your first surgery?
Yeah.
You've ever had it on you?
Yeah, I've never had any surgery. Man. So that's why I was kind of scared. I was like, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what to, you know, what happens or what goes there. But they came back later and they're like, oh, Mr. Blatis, we're so busy right now. You know, we're having so many trauma, you know, accidents, people getting shot. And I could hear this over the intercoms. I could hear them talking, you know, calling nurses. Oh, we have a patient with gunshot wounds. We have a patient that came in with a cracked skull, broken spine from a motorcycle accident. And I kept hearing nothing but accidents being reported like that. And nurses just walking and going over there, that I was like, wow. Then the nurses came back and told me, we've never been this busy in 20 years. I don't know what's going on, but we have COVID. We have accidents. We have gunshots, people getting stabbed. What the fuck is going on? And I'm like, what? People, we are in a pandemic. People are not supposed to be out there. Who the fuck is getting shot? Who the fuck is getting stabbed? I was like, people, why are you riding on your bikes?
This is the US, man. Crime never ends here. There's always something going on down here.
Yeah, but I was like, I don't care. I'm still getting my surgery. And then she's like, well, they just moved your surgery to 11. Oh, no, wait, to 12. So noon, you should be ready by noon. Oh, okay. As long as we get it out today, though, I'm good. And they come back at 12 and they tell me, yeah, unfortunately, we're going to do it at 2 p.m. Okay, cool. Then it came back again at 2 p.m. They're like, you know what? We're moving it to 6 p.m. because we need the time and we have other people in surgery right now. Okay, all right. They already moved it up. They already moved my appointment time 3-4 times. I said, I'm still getting it, right? Oh, no, no. Believe me. Well, you're still going to get it because we need to get that out of your body, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, cool. Then they come back at 6 and they tell me, okay, 9 p.m. is the last time and that's the time that you're going to get your surgery done. And I'm like,
so 12 hours later.
Yeah. And then they come back at 11 p.m. The doctor comes and he's like, okay, look, Mr. Platis, I'm your surgeon. I'm supposed to do the surgery, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm exhausted. It's been a long day. And the last thing I want is to operate on you, you know, being this tired. So I would rather just put it off for another day. Are you feeling better? How are you feeling? And I told him, yeah, I'm feeling much better. Yeah. At that point, like the pain was less, way less. I said, I'm feeling better. Okay. I'm going to check up on you tomorrow and we're going to go from there. And I'm like, okay, cool. You're the doc. Whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. And then the next day I woke up and I had less pain. Like I was like, okay, I could move again. I feel a little bit discomfort, but not too much. And then they had me like that the whole day. And I'm just like, am I getting surgery today? And they're like, we don't know. They put you on NPO. That means that you cannot eat or drink because at any moment they could take you into surgery. They just didn't give us a time. I was like, okay, no problem. Cool. And at this point, it's the morning. It's like 7, 8 a.m.
Bet you're hungry. Starving.
Yeah. I'm like, damn, I'm hungry. And then I could see my neighbor on the other side. They come in with a little tablet and they're like, okay, Mr. Whatever. We have for breakfast, and they give them the options. And then I'm just like, are you going to ask me? I'm also hungry. And then they're like, for lunch, we have these options. And for dinner, we have these options. What would you like? And I could hear the guy ordering his food and he's not even eating it. And I'm just like, man, pass it over here. That brownie, that cupcake. Oh my God, that sounds good. And I was like kind of embarrassed to ask, you know. I was like, I don't want to ask the nurse, but you know, the day ended, and then the next day I didn't eat for shit that day, only nothing but IVs and antibiotics, because they told them to keep me like that because at any point I could go in for surgery. So the next day I woke up early, like at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, and my stomach was rumbling, and I'm like, damn, I'm hungry, but I know breakfast don't come in till like 7, 8 in the morning. And then I was like, fuck that, I'm a little embarrassed to ask the nurse, but fuck it. So Michelle is the nurse that was attending me, she's a real nice lady, and I was like, Michelle, can I ask you a question? She was like, yeah. I was like, okay, I keep looking at this guy next to me, they keep bringing him breakfast and lunch and dinner, and they don't bring me nothing, they don't even ask me, like, I'm hungry as hell. And she was like, yeah, I know, but you right now, since they have you on NPO, you cannot eat or drink anything. I said, I get it, but they had just told me that morning they were not gonna do the operation at all, they were gonna send me home and they were gonna see me in 2 weeks so that I could talk to a doctor so that I could see when we're gonna do the operation. So I told her that, and I told her, okay, well, the doctor just told me this. And she was like, really? Because they haven't taken you off NPO, like, let me go check. I said, yes, please check, and if they already take me out of NPO, can I get,
feed me,
yes, can I get a plate of food, anything, I don't care. And she laughed, she's like, yeah, I'll get you a plate, hold on, and then let me check first. And she left, and she came back, and I saw her with a plate of food, and I was like, yes, hell yeah. And it was just fucking eggs, string bean, and I think it was like a yogurt and an apple juice. I ate everything, and I'm not even into vegetables like that, but I ate everything, and I was like, oh my god, this is good. And they let me go that day, you know, they told me like, okay, you're gonna be released. They released me like around 2 p.m and I was like, fuck it, you know. They gave me some medicines to go pick up at the pharmacy, and they told me, all right, so go home, take your medicine, you seem to have recovered really good, we're not saying we're not gonna take it out, you still have to get that gallbladder out because it could happen again. And I told them, yes, I don't want that pain ever again, so hopefully the medicine works, and hopefully in 2 weeks is enough time for me to come back and take it out, whatever. And they told me, yeah, no problem, in 2 weeks we're gonna have your doctor schedule a phone call to see how you feel, and then he's gonna tell you what day he's gonna do the operation. So from there I went home, and I was glad to be home. I was like, yes, I am back home, hopefully I feel better. And I was even thinking, and if I don't feel like, I gotta get this shit out of my body because it's good now, I probably won't even go back. So the first day I was home, I took my medicine, went to sleep, it was good, fuck it. I woke up the next day, and I woke up to the same little throbbing pain in the middle of my stomach, but this time it was like, it was minor, it was like maybe 1 out of 10, it was probably like a 4. I could deal with it, but I felt like, what the fuck, not again, I said. So what fucked me up the most was that I was hungry, but I was afraid to eat because I didn't want to, you know,
make things worse.
Yeah, I didn't want my gallbladder to work or overwork because I ate something, and something is going to go back into inflammation, and I'm going to be in pain again.
Uh-oh. So how did you deal with this?
I started researching online, and it's fucked up because it's like, online, when you search, what can I eat if I have gallbladder inflammation? And it gives you a list of shit you can eat. And then you get another search that says, what to eat after gallbladder removal. So it's like the same shit that you couldn't eat before, now it's telling you to eat. So I'm like in the middle. I'm like, well, I don't have inflammation, but I'm avoiding that. But I haven't gotten it removed, so I cannot eat. The fuck? I don't know what to eat. I was scared to eat food. So I remember that I told my wife, like, you know, the best thing to do is just fucking try to go vegan, vegetarian, and just.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'd rather eat something that I know is not gonna, you know, fuck up my gallbladder again. And even if it's hard, I'm willing to give it a try because I don't want that pain ever again.
And I don't have nothing against vegan food. I'm pretty sure that all those people that love to eat that, that's fine. But when you're not used to eating stuff like that, this is like life-changing. This is a whole different ballpark that we're not used to.
Yeah, so I went to my local health store here. It's like a little, it's like a market, like a store. They have nothing but healthy stuff. Plus, they have a juice bar, and they have a little restaurant inside that they make sandwiches and stuff like that, like vegan stuff. And so we went. I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is good. This is healthy stuff. I could eat this stuff. I see gluten-free. I see nothing but whole wheat stuff. Oh, yes. And then I go and I ask the girl, like, okay, this is my, you know, what my problem is. And she was like, yeah, anything here you could eat. It shouldn't affect you, whatever. So I was like, fuck it, let me get some of these sandwiches. And I kid you not, the first day I was in heaven. I was like, this is good. I don't know why I have never eaten doing this shit. I was even thinking, even when friends come over or even when Mondo comes over, instead of, you know, when we go buy fast food, I'm going to be like, nope, I'm coming here and buying myself a vegan wrap or a vegan fucking sandwich or whatever or food. And you guys could have your fast food. That's how I felt the first day. After the whole week of eating that shit, I don't know what, but my body, my taste buds were like, this is bullshit. This is not.
No.
Yeah, I don't. I really don't want to see this bullshit anymore. That fucking rye bread, I'm like, no. And I kept looking at my family, like my kids eating their burgers or eating anything else. And I'm just like, oh my God, I gotta eat this shit. But it's for the better.
That's exactly how I get when I eat like bologna sandwiches. Like you can only eat it one day. You can't eat it multiple days.
Yeah.
So it must be similar to that when you're eating that every day. And it's like, I don't want this taste anymore.
Don't get me wrong.
Taste buds get bored.
Yeah, exactly. Don't get me wrong. The food is not bad, but it's just that our taste palate is different. Like if you were a vegan for a long time, you get used to it. You know what alternatives to foods to eat. You know how to prepare your food. Cool. But I couldn't expect myself from fucking eating fast food and regular food all my life and now in 1 week make a transition. I couldn't. And I remember eating another wrap and a jackfruit fucking barbecue sandwich that I was actually kind of impressed because the jackfruit, the texture, it looks like it's like meat. And then whatever seasoning they put on there kind of tastes like meat. But besides that, my medicine was also fucking up my taste bud because they told me, oh, it's going to give you a metallic taste. And I was like, what? Metallic taste? Like, how the fuck do you, you know, put that on the description? Like, or how do you explain that? Like, do you lick a piece of metal and say, yep, that's exactly how it tastes like? But I tell you what, it did have a weird taste. So everything that I was drinking, even like Dr. Pepper or water or anything that I was drinking, even when I was taking a natural juice from the juice bar, it did have a weird taste. And I kept saying, what the fuck is that weird taste? But it was my medicine too. So that also has something to do with me at the end of the week not wanting no more vegan food. And I was just like, fuck, man, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And then all of a sudden, I kid you not, like on the third day of me being back home, the pain just kept going up and up. I remember being in the living room with my kids, try to watch them, you know, play video games or watch a movie. And the pain was already like at a 7 or 8, where it was already enough for me to not be comfortable. I couldn't even concentrate. I couldn't even watch the movie. Couldn't even watch them. I would just be grabbing my stomach and being like, what the fuck, man? I'm taking the medicine. Why is this shit acting up again? I'm not even fast food. I'm not even eating nothing greasy, nothing fucked up. What the fuck? And then I remember going to the room to lay down. I couldn't even lay down because I'm trying to watch TV in my room and it was fucking bothering me again. The only time that it would go away is when I would take a nap or go to sleep. And then I would wake up and we're back at it again. So then I remember my wife went to work and I was texting her. I was like, fuck, I can't deal with this shit. I can't. And then just to think that I had to wait 2 fucking weeks so that I could talk to a doctor so that he could tell me when they're going to do the operation. This is torture. This is bullshit.
Can you imagine? You went through the torture of eating all that vegan food and you're still getting pains after a few days. Kind of makes you think like, man, I should have just eaten that damn burger if I was going to still get like this anyway.
Exactly. I did think about that at one point, but then I was like, yeah, but at least the vegan food is not aggravating my gallbladder. And if I eat the fast food, it might just, the pain, man, the pain is something that I was scared of. I was like, that pain, I never want to ever have it again. So I get it. I thought about that. And I was like, I should just eat a fucking avocado fucking burger or something. But I told my wife that. And she's like, you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to go home early. I'm leaving work early. And we're going to go to the hospital. We're going to call Kaiser. I'm going to tell him that this is bullshit. And she did. She came home. She called Kaiser. Kaiser was really cool. The nurse that we spoke to, he was like, I told him everything I felt. And he just told me, you know what, Mr. Plaintiff? Go ahead and go to the ER where you were. Where you live in that facility, we don't have the surgeons to do that type of surgery available. Now, if you want to drive to L.A., you can come to any Kaiser in L.A. and we have other surgeons that you need. And I told them, nope, I am too far to go to L.A. I'd rather just go to the nearest hospital. And he was like, cool, no worries. I'm going to go ahead and call the hospital that you're on your way. I'm going to send them all the paperwork. I'm going to email, fax it, whatever I have to do so that you just get there and go in there. And I told my wife, fuck it, let's go. Because I'm not dealing with this shit anymore for 2 weeks. Hell no, I don't think I'll last. I don't think I'll last. It's too much of a torture to be like this every day. Even after eating better, drinking the medicine, I'm still getting fucked up.
You're not healed. You're just prolonging. I mean, that thing has to come out no matter what. So, you're not going to get better until that's removed. But bet you it felt a whole lot better once that was out of you.
Well, we went to the hospital again. And this time, you know, the pain wasn't as bad as before. Like I said, I was like at a 7, maybe 8. Mm-hmm. And I'm at the hospital and I'm just like, fuck, man. I hope they take it out. I hope something happens. And it was packed again. It was packed. I got there like around 4 p.m. And they told me, okay, we're going to send you to the green zone. At first, I was thinking, yes, they're putting me in already. And they're going to prep me or get me ready for this shit. Nope. They sent me to another waiting area inside. And I'm right there waiting with other people. And I'm there with my wife. And, you know, they're fucking prepping me. They're like, we don't have no rooms right now. So as soon as we have a room available, we'll give you a room. So I'm right there in the lobby. They put IVs in my fucking arms again. And I'm like, it was so uncomfortable because I had to fucking carry that IV wherever I went. Even if I go to a restroom, I had to carry that shit with me. Like on a, you know, those metal things that holds the IV. I had one of those with wheels.
Yeah, like it's like a coat holder or something like that.
Kind of like a coat. Yeah. Yeah.
But for IVs. I've seen them in movies. I'm like, I don't want to ever see those things.
Yeah, so I'm there sitting at the lobby with multiple bags of IVs in my arm and just people just looking at me like, what's wrong with this guy? Why the fuck does he have all those IVs? And I'm just like, oh my God, I just need a room so I could just lay down and be there already. So from 4 p.m., I didn't get a room till 4 a.m. That's how packed it was.
Wait, 12 hours?
Yes, I was sitting down in their fucking room in that hospital waiting because there was no beds. Everything, I'm telling you, I don't know what the fuck was going on, but there was still a lot of accidents. I was in the lobby when I kept hearing people crying because, you know, their loved ones came and had gunshot wounds. Then there was like another family coming in because they're another gunshot wound to their fucking loved one. And I was just like, damn, were they in the same fight? And apparently not. They were like in different parts of the city. But I was like, damn, who gets shot at the same time with other people? Shit, they must have been in the same vicinity to get shot. But no, it was different fights, different people. They didn't even know each other. And I was just like hearing that. And I was like, fuck, man.
It's like life went back to normal.
Yeah.
COVID ended and everybody's like, oh, back to the same old bullshit of old.
Yeah. And it was funny because being in the waiting room, I remember telling my wife, like around 10 p.m., I told her, no, 12. I told her, you know what? Just go home, go get some rest because I know you got to go to work tomorrow. I'm good. I'll be here. I'll let you know when I get a room. And she was like, nope, I'm not going to go to work. I'm just going to call out and I'll stay here. And I'm like, no. I don't want you to stay here. Just go and I'll call you when I get a room. That way you get some rest. And then I stayed there by myself. And, you know, it's funny because you see a lot of people there. There was a guy right there that was, I guess, drunk and had gotten in a fight. And he was there, you know, on his phone, calling his wife, telling her like, oh, I'm going to beat his ass. Tell him when I get home again. I don't care. I'm going to kick his ass. Look what he did to me. He hit me with a bottle in my head. I'm just like, damn, I'm here with a gallbladder problem. These people here, you know, getting drunk, getting in fights. And then there was another one. He was like a veteran from Vietnam. And he kept saying some like racial slurs that I don't even know if I should repeat them, but I knew something was wrong with him because of he was sitting down there and he was making like a rifle, like he had a rifle in his hand and he was shooting. He would go and he would go to sleep. Then he would do that motion again.
Okay, that would scare the shit out of
me. No, but I was like, what the fuck? And then he would do it again and then he would go, I mean, I'm gonna repeat what he said. He said, oh, kill the gook and the chinks, you know? And I'm like, oh, I know what that means. So I saw his hat and it was like a Vietnam veteran. And then he was like, get off of me, you N-word. And yeah, and then he was like, he said that and I see all the black people around him just look at him. And then he threw some stuff, like he had like a lighter and he had like a little lip balm thing and he threw it like a grenade and it landed on the black person's, like on her body. And then she was like looking at him like he was racist, you know? But I looked at it and I was like, no, it's not even that. He has PTSD and he was already an older man, like older man. And long story short, I moved because I had to go and charge my phone and they took my seat and the only seat available was next to him. Oh, and yeah. And so I have my fucking IV and he kept fucking punching the air, you know? So I was thinking, if this motherfucker punches me, I'm going to fucking explode. If he hits my stomach or if he punches me, I'm going to fucking explode. I don't care. But you know what? I sat next to him.
Yeah. I can't imagine that the doctors are like, wait a minute. He was here for PTSD. How come he's unconscious? the heck's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah, for reals. But then I sat next to him and he started talking to me. And at first, I didn't want to make too much conversation because of what I've heard, you know, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't know. This guy's probably loony, not in there.
Crazy. All
yeah. But then he was like telling me about, you know, him being in service and how he's had nightmares and stuff like that. And sometimes he sees the people that killed a lot of his friends. And, you know, that's why he says gooks and chinks, stuff like that, because he sees them. And I'm like, I don't know what to say. I was just like, oh, yeah, sorry to hear that. You know, I understand that you have PTSD. And then he's like telling me about the nightmares. And he told me some stories, man, about how his friends, they went in and he saw them get cut up and then get killed, get a lot of, fuck, man. Like, I could understand why he was the way he was, you know? And I remember him asking me, can you do me a favor? Can you tell him, the nurse, if he could get me a blanket? I was like, yeah. I walk myself with my fucking coat hanger and IV. And I'm like, hey, can I get a blanket for one of the guys in there? They're like, yeah, here you go. I took it to him and he fell asleep. And I remember the lady that was next to me, she was Hispanic, but she was kind of complaining, like, oh, she was telling me in Spanish, you know, that guy is racist. That guy was crazy, this and that. And I was like, ma'am, you know.
Yeah, she doesn't know his side of his story, his life and stuff.
Yeah. I said, ma'am, you know, we are quick to judge people based on some of the actions, but if you only knew this guy here, you know, he went, fought a war for you and me, for us to have all the freedoms we have. And the results of that is what you're seeing now. The least we could do is be more understanding and have some compassion. I get it. What he said was, you know, some racial slurs. I get it. But I can't blame him. Like he said, those people were murdering his friends. A lot of the other people that were there with him, you know, they were exposed to torture. A lot of other things that he mentioned that was really fucked up. And I can't blame him for that. I told her he has nightmares. He sees that shit every day. He even sees them, you know, when he wakes up, you know, and I guess like hallucinations. Mm-hmm. So the only thing I could say is I'm thankful that he volunteered and, you know, went to war for us, you know.
Yeah, it's sad that he had to go through all that.
Yeah, and I told her the least we could do is take care of them. And that's one of the biggest problems we have here, that we don't take care of our vets, you know. Our veterans are homeless. Our veterans don't have the you know, the capacity to go to any hospital when they need it. It's sad. And again, when people had to go to war during that time, he didn't hesitate once to probably say, fuck it, I'm going to fight for my country and the freedom for my people. And now we're looking at him like, oh, look at him. Old, racist, old man. No.
We forget what they went through. What their purpose in life was probably even greater than a lot of our purposes out here. If we just live our normal life, but they're actually doing something.
Yeah, not a lot of people would give their life, be like that patriotic and be like, hey, I'm going to go fight for my country and the freedom of my people. But again, that happened that day. And I was like, you know, I guess once you talk to a person, you see a different side. But after that, you know, I got my room, you know, I remember being there and they told me.
What time was this? Because you're talking about four in the morning?
Yeah, 4 a.m. So I got the room. They put me there. I text my wife, you know, she came in the next day at 8, but I was already there. They told me again, you're an NPO. You're scheduled to have surgery today at 2. And I was like, fuck it. I don't care. As long as we get it. And I told her, but for sure. No, they're like, no, for sure this time, because Kaiser already called that they don't want you to go back to your house without having surgery because you already had pains and they tried sending you home, but it didn't get better.
I think it looks bad for them too, right? On their records, it shows, wait a minute, this guy's already been here for one. I mean, he originally went in for surgery.
Mm-hmm.
He was discharged and now he's going back and he's going to get discharged again. I do think it would look bad if something was to happen to you.
Yeah, no. And it does. And it even feels stupid because I felt like, what the fuck? Why would they send me? I was already here. They should have just kept me another day and done the surgery the second, the fourth day, whatever. But then that day, they told me, okay, 12 o'clock. Okay, we're going to get ready for your surgery. Make sure you put this on. You know, you're going to be in your birthday suit. No, nothing. Here's your gown. My wife was already there, you know, and I was like, at that point, I started getting nervous. I was like, fuck, this is happening.
The time has come.
Yeah, this is really happening. I'm like, fuck. I wasn't nervous until almost the time. And then, like around 12:30, they told me, we got to get you in for prep. I was like, oh, shit, it's happening. So they take me into prep. You know, I go into a room. They explain to me what's going to be the procedure, what's going to happen. I got to sign some forms. They, you know, they ask you if you want to get some blood transfusion, if you allow, you know, them to give you some blood. I was like, yes. Otherwise, I'm going to die. So, yes, yeah, on that. Yeah. And then I remember, you know, talking to the doctor, the anesthesia doctor, you know, and I was like, doctor, I need to talk to you. He was like, yeah, yeah. Any questions, concerns you have? Feel free to ask me anything. I said, okay, look, doctor, when I go to the dentist, I remember the dentist telling me not to get too nervous or try not to get nervous because the Novocaine is not going to do its work and they might have to put extra. So I'm really fucking nervous right now. I'm scared. I've never had surgery. So all I'm trying to say is if you need to put a little extra anesthesia in me, go ahead, do it. I don't want to get up halfway into my surgery and fuck something up. And he's like, oh, don't worry about it. Novocaine is nothing compared to the anesthesia we're going to use. Novocaine, that's like baby shit compared to what we use. You're going to be out. You're not even going to fucking remember anything or feel anything. I'm like, I get it. I understand that. But if you have to.
But just in case, you want a little more.
Yeah. But if you have to, feel free to bump it up a little bit extra or bump it up a little bit more just in case I... not fully out. And he's like, okay.
So you really felt like it wasn't going to do the trick for you if they put just the normal amount?
Yeah, because I was nervous and I was scared and I was like, I was really scared, Mando. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen.
I believe you.
And then it's funny because like usually, you know, I'm not too religious, but I remember praying before I went in and I was just like, please God, you know, get me out of the surgery and I will do the rest. And I went in, they prepped me and everything. They put me in a little ass fucking operating table. And I was just like, oh my God, nothing but light. I see all the equipment and I'm just like getting more scared. And then the nurse that was there was like, okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to hook me up to the machine and everything so they can know my vitals and everything. We're going to get your body with a lot of oxygen so that everything's well. And they put a little oxygen thing and I was breathing. Then they told me, okay, here comes the anesthesia. It smells a little weird, but start counting from 10 and down. And I was like, okay. So they put that and I smelled the weird plastic smell, the anesthesia. And I went 10, 9, 8. And that's all I remember.
Whoa, that was pretty fast.
Yeah. And after that, I remember waking up because they woke me up and I felt like a fucking semi truck hit me because my body was in pain. Like it hurt it. Like physically, it hurt my chest area, my stomach, everywhere hurt. And I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe because since my gallbladder right there, every time I try to take a deep breath, it would hurt. But if it wasn't like before, but it was like more like a physical pain. And I remember waking up and I kept hearing, move your toes and your arms. And I'm wailing my arms up like those fucking, those little inflatable.
Yeah, the ones at the car sales. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm moving my arms and wiggling my toes. And I could hear them telling me like, no, Mr. Platis, you're good. Just take a deep breath. They're not talking to you because there were other people there. And I remember they were talking to somebody else. They had just woken me up. But in my mind, I was like, I remember what the nurse told me before I went into surgery. She told me, after you get out of surgery, make sure that you breathe and you move your arms and your legs because, I don't know exactly. I forget the exact, name. That she told me, but you could get, if you don't move your body because you just came from a surgery, your body could go into shock if you don't move it, and then they're gonna have to take you back in.
So the funny thing about it is that you were out cold, yet you had this in your mind the entire time. As soon as I wake up, I got my procedures, I got my instructions, so you were just trying to comply.
Yes. Yeah, not only comply, but I was like, if I'm out of surgery, thank you, God. I got it from here. I got it. And I remember what she told me. So I could hear I was waking up and I could hear just somebody saying, move your toes, wiggle your toes, move your hands, move your arms up and down. I'm fucking wiggling my arms up and down, left and right. And I'm wiggling my toes, you know, and I'm trying to like, I'm just saying, I can't breathe that well. And they're like, no, Mr. Platis, you're good. All you got to do is just take a deep breath in, deep breath out, deep breath in, deep breath out. And I'm just like, I know, but I got to work my arms and my toes. And they're like, yeah, yeah, you're moving them. That's a good sign. That's good. Don't worry about it. And then I finally like opened my eyes, you know, and I was able to see everything. And I saw, you know, in that room, I guess that's when they take out everybody from the operations. And they had different rooms right there with other people that were recovering from operations that they just had. And I was like, oh shit, they're not talking to me, but fuck it. I'm moving my toes, moving my arms. And then they told me, good, good. You look good. You seem to be stable. we're going to take you to your own room to recover. And then I noticed that the people that were they were talking to, they were like, nope, you can't leave. We're going to probably take them back. And we're going to until they, I guess they could move on their own and breathe on their own. And I was like, I'm glad that I'm able to do it. I'm glad because I don't want to stay here no more. So finally, they took me to my room and it was all good. First thing I asked, did the Suns win? They told me, yes, they did. Thank you, God. I was like, yes. Yes, everything couldn't be better.
Then
I was there with my wife. Family members came and see me, and I took some medicine, took some more IV. Then the next day, they told me I have to start walking in order for me to go home. Because if I don't walk, I can't go home. And I was like, I want to go home already, but I don't want to force it, but fuck it. So they told me, besides that, you don't want to be here. We have a lot of COVID cases. And right now in your state, you're very vulnerable to it. So the best thing for you to be, if you walk, the sooner the better. So you go home and rest and be in your house. And I was like, yes, the last thing I want is to, you know, in this state to get COVID. So then I remember being there for another day. And I kid you not, the next morning, I was hungry as fuck. And they came and the lady took my order. And I remember ordering some French toast. And they gave me a French toast with a coffee, you know, with a pineapple and a yogurt and a fucking apple juice. And I was like, oh my God, that shit never tasted so good, Mondo. I kid you not, I hadn't had a regular food in a while. So that shit tasted so good to me. And then after that, I was released that day. It fucking hurted a lot to walk because of, you know, the surgery was in my stomach. So, but I was glad to go home. And ever since then, I've been just recovering. This is the third week. Now I'm feeling more much like myself now. I even sound like myself. I'm eating. Oh, yeah. You know, normal. I'm able to. I have all my functions back. You know, before the first day, the first couple of weeks, I had to tell my wife to help me up for the bed. To go to the restroom, you know, to fucking take a shower, for everything. And
are you able to move around like you were?
Yeah. And then I was just taking medicines. It was just drowsy. You know, even then, right now, I still have like 2 more weeks. I cannot drive. I cannot lift anything. You know, I cannot do anything like that. But when I came home, I was glad that we have those beds, like, you know, that the number bed or whatever, that they could tilt up from the feet and the back, the headboard, so that you don't have to be just laying flat. Oh my God, did that help a lot,
man? Awesome. I'm glad that you were able to fully recover like that. I mean, yeah. I remember when I had my pains from the kidney stones I had a while back, the pain was immense. And I remember the doctor had said that that kind of pain is similar to what a woman goes through when she has labor, when she goes into labor. So when I heard your story, or you told me that you were going through this, I was like, no, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. This is the worst kind of pain you can go through. So I know how bad it was.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this question, because this went through my mind a couple of times. During any time, did you ever feel like this might be it? Like the pain was that much that you felt like you might not make it?
I did. At the beginning, I don't know if you remember when my wife texted you and a lot of my family members, because I remember when I heard the first time that I went in for this pain, I heard the, you know, the nurses say, well, it seems like it could burst any moment now if we don't take it out, and he might go into a coma or worse, die. And as soon as I heard that, I told my wife, I said, look, I need you to do this. Right now, send a text to my mom and my brother, send a text to my cousin, send a text to Mondo, and send a text to my friend, and let them know that I'm in the hospital. And just in case this is it, at least they know that this is what happened. I don't want them to like be like, what happened to Louis? I haven't talked to him in like fucking 2 months. No, let them know that I'm in the hospital and I'm fucked up. That's why you got that text, you know.
Mm-hmm. I remember it when I got it that night. I was like, what the? Oh, shoot.
Because I did feel like this is it. If they don't take, especially when they told me that it was going to take 2 hours for the ambulance to come, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. I'm really going to die. These people are going to let me die here. What the fuck?
That's got to be the worst feeling.
Yeah, I remember just, like, again, in the worst moments, you should look for God. And I remember telling you, please, God, don't let me die. Like, my kids still need me, you know, my wife, everybody, like, I don't want to die yet. I'm too young. I told you, when I'm 80 something, I wouldn't even complain. But right now, I'm not ready. But, you know, everything went well. You know, I recovered. I went to the doctor like last week because I had a fucking tube, a drip. They called it a drip. A tube come out of my stomach for like a whole week, which, oh my God, it was annoying to have. But, you know, when I went to the doctor, yeah, he took it out. It felt really weird because
What is the drip for exactly?
Because once they remove your gallbladder, it's still, I don't know if it's bleeding or it's still creating bile. No, it's not creating bile because they took it out, but it's still bleeding. So some of the blood that's coming from there is coming out to that tube. So I had to empty that out and put it back in there. So yeah, but it was annoying because it's coming out of your stomach, on the side of your stomach, where if you pull it, you'll be like, ugh. And then knowing that you have that hole there, I was like,
yeah,
trust me. I was ready to get that shit out when I went last week. And yeah, and so far, you know, I've been good. I feel a lot more like myself now. I'm walking. I'm doing everything. I'm still being careful because I still feel like the incisions in my stomach are still, I could feel them, you know, like, damn, they're still there. They're recovering. Well,
you're still in recovery. So it's still going to take a little bit more time. But yeah, for the most part, you could say that you're what? Out of 100%? How far do you see yourself?
I feel like maybe 90. Like it's good. I mean, I could go out now. I could walk. I'm eating normal. I mean, I'm just staying off burgers and processed foods like that. But I'm eating normal. I'm not even, cause I asked the doctor and the nurse afterwards. They're like, nope, you could still eat whatever you want. You're like, you don't have to change your diet. I mean, you could if you want to improve your health, but everything else you could eat, the pancreas is going to pick up the pace. I mean, even if you don't have a gallbladder, the pancreas is going to do this job. The only difference is I would stay away from a lot of cholesterol foods and a lot of fats, because, you know, it might give you, you know, diarrhea or you know, maybe stomach cramps. But other than that, you're good to go. And so far, I haven't experienced anything, and I've been trying not to eat processed food, burgers, stuff like that.
Well, there is a lesson to be learned, not just for you, but just hearing from what you went through, it's like, well, it may not have happened to me, but I'm sure gonna take those precautions. I'm gonna have to lay back on all that processed meat, and I have to say goodbye to all those greasy foods, and you know change that lifestyle, because I mean, why let it get to that point that I have to go through that?
Yeah. And you know, another thing is that having the surgery, being in the hospital those days, like they press a reset button on my stomach because I cannot eat as much as I used to. Like I get full now with like smaller portions. And even when I was eating, like the other day, I was eating an ice cream popsicle, and I was like, damn, this is so sugary. Ugh. I was like, it's too sweet. And I remember eating those before. And I would be like, oh, let me get another one. You know, but now it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know what happened in my body those days that my stomach probably shrinked a little bit, but I can't eat as much as I used to. Even the other day, you know, we went to buy some pupusas and usually I would eat three. I ate fucking 1.5. Same thing with a pizza. I ate 2 slices and I was full. I was like, damn, I used to eat 4 before.
I think that the problem with our bad eating habits is that we just love to eat.
Like we overstuff.
We're full, but we just love the taste and we just gotta keep getting that taste. But, you know, we could easily get full with just the normal portions. But like you said, now that they did that reset, now you have to eat less. I may have to get me a little reset myself.
Yeah, but not natural way, not the way they happen to me.
Yeah, not like that. Yeah, don't cut me open to press that button. Come on.
Yeah. No, yeah. You know, and in the end, you know, I was glad I was able to get that shit done. And the other day I got the bill. Well, it's not a bill because it says there, this is not a bill, but they send you like what they paid for, you know. So Kaiser sent me a paper that looks like a bill that says in big letters, this is not a bill. This is just for your information so you can know what we paid for, what services. Mm-hmm. And man, I'm glad I had insurance because that shit was $28,000. Just for those 3 days that I was there in surgery.
3 days? Wow.
Imagine if you don't have insurance. This is why I say that universal Medicare is important because the U.S. is the only place where people will go to get medical help and get out and be bankrupt. Because my bill was not that bad. But I've heard stories of other people's having high-ass fucking bills that they can't even pay. So,
well, think about that one guy that had that COVID. He was in the hospital for like a month and he was dying. And he was on the respirator. He was getting medicine and stuff. And when he got out, he got hit with a bill that was like over $1 million. He was like, why didn't you guys just let me die? Why do I have to come back to all of this? So it's scary to think about that we do have some of the best medicine out there, but God, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg if you're not insured.
That is true.
You're right. We do need some universal
healthcare.
Healthcare. Otherwise, imagine if you don't have any healthcare, then what are you going to do?
Yeah. And you know, again, we could go on and on about this topic, right? Because people don't agree with it, but those people are the ones that need it the most of the times. And again, we are the only country, because if you look at Canada and Europe and a lot of other countries, they have universal healthcare and their citizens don't go bankrupt because they get sick. Even just look at this, you know, a lot of people here in the United States will complain about it, but they're quick to go to Mexico and get procedures done there because it's cheaper. I just don't get that. Like, I mean, I understand why they do it, because again, I said this before, we're trained to not want something that's free or a help from the government or whatever. But again, I think that's another topic for another day. I think this will probably be the end of the episode. I'm glad to be back. I feel good. I feel better. I have a couple of weeks to finish my recovery. And I guess that'll do it for this episode, guys. Thank you so much for coming back and checking up on us and listening to us. And, you know, our apologies for those 2 weeks that we were gone, or three. But we're back. We'll have another episode soon, probably next week. And hopefully that'll be the end of the season. And we'll take some time off. And then we'll come back again strong for another season, guys. Better than ever. So, with that being said, for now, it's bye from me and bye from Mondo. So I guess we'll be seeing you guys. Right, Mondo?
That's right. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you guys soon.
All righty then. Bye, everyone.
Bye.